Let's continue, Be'ezer Hashem, with our introduction to Kodshim, just a general introduction. We'll try to hone in also on Korban Pesach. We spoke about four avodos, which are classified in a general terminology called avodas hadam, beginning with shechita, kabbalas hadam, holochas hadam, and zrikas hadam. These are the quintessential, critical avodos of every korban that's called a zevach, as opposed to a mincha. And we spoke about various machshavos that could be machshavos haposlos during the course of any of these four avodos. Now, kabbalas hadam requires a kli shares. Holochas hadam, we mentioned, is a machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim as to whether or not a machshava poseles applies during holochas hadam. We paskin like the Chachamim that holochas hadam is no less of an avoda than the other three avodos, and therefore all the machshavos apostles apply even to holochas hadam. Now we have something called zrika, zrikas hadam, the fourth of the four avodos. Now the word zrika itself is a bit of a misnomer, because in Kodshim, in avodas hakarba, we don't always require a zrika. As a general rule, we do require zrika, but that's not always the case. For example, although shechita is always the same, it never changes. In fact, all the regulations and requirements of shechitas chulin apply to shechitas kodshim. So in effect, when you're talking about the first of the four avodos of shechita, you have to learn Masechta Chulin, because whatever rules that apply to shechitas chulin, that becomes the paradigm for shechitas kodshim. So that shechita, as we said, is mikshachas. It's the same shechita that applies straight across the board. But now, we get to zrika. Now, where does zrika become complicated? That's the case of a chatas. In all other korbanos, with the exception of chatas, we have what's called zrika. Now, the opposite of zrika is shficha. Zrika means obviously to throw, and shficha means to pour. So when you have a liquid, you can pour a liquid. So there are two questions that I want to raise here. Question number one is, what happens if the Kohen, instead of doing zrika, he did shficha, so that the blood got to the mizbech not through an act of throwing, but through an act of pouring? And question number two, are there any situations in which the avoda lechatchila, not b'dieved, but lechatchila, has to be through shficha? So first of all, we have to talk about shficha in the ikar avoda as a b'dieved situation. And here, the law is that although zrika is lechatchila required, but b'dieved, if he did shficha and the dam ended up on the mizbeach, that's okay. The carbon is kosher and it is mechaper. It's olo l'bailo l'shem chiyuv. Everything happens. Everything's good. So that's called shficha b'dieved. Now, are there cases of shficha l'chatchila where the avod itself requires shficha? So this is applicable to something called shiyore adam. In other words, in every case of zrika, there are shiurim. There's a certain minimum amount that is required in zrika. And for that, we have to learn really many chunks of Masechta Zvachim to figure out what qualifies as zrika, how much of the dam that was received in the Mizrak, in the Kli Shares, has to be thrown onto the Mizbeach. But Shiarim means that after you fulfill the mitzvah of Zrika, you still have dam left in the Kli Shares. What do you do with that dam? So the requirement is what's called Shvicha al Yisod HaMizbeach. So the Mizbeach is really made up of three parts. And to really do this, we'd have to learn Masech the Midos. But there's the top of the Mizbeach, the Gag HaMizbeach, which has what's called the Kronos, loosely translated into English as the horns of the Mizbeach on all four sides. Then you have the Mizbeach itself. And then you have the Yisod HaMizbeach, which is an area that surrounds the Mizbeach and juts out from the Mizbeach. And in the Shiori HaMizbeach, in the Yisod HaMizbeach, there were openings into which they poured the Shiori HaMizbeach. That's not an act of Zrika, that's an act of Shficha. Shficha means pouring. Here's where there's a fundamental difference. When we require Zrika and B'dievid Shvicha, and that's on the Guf HaMizbeach, then its absence, if it was omitted, completely undermines the Avodas HaKarmon. The clincher, as we said before, the critical Avodah of all the four Avodos is Zrika Sadam, B'dievid Shvicha Sadam. But wherever the Dam has to get to, it must get there. If it doesn't get there, the Karmon is possible. Not so with regard to Shirayim, where there's a mitzvah of Shvicha. That's only what we call a Chovas Gavra. That's only an obligation. It's a mitzvah. But it's not critical to the Kaparas HaKarbon. So if at the end of the day, for example, the leftover dam, the vestige of dam in the Mizrach, spills onto the ground in such a way that it's impossible to collect it and do Shvicha al Yisod HaMizbeach, the carbon is still Mechaper. If, on the other hand, he collects the dam from the neck of the animal after Shechita in a Mizrach, and then somehow the Mizrach pours onto the ground in a way that he can't collect the dam, the carbon is completely possible. That's because he has no possibility of getting the dam onto the Mizbeach. Okay. Now, I asked you before, is there a possibility of Shvichas Hadam Lichatchila as a replacement of Zrika? And I'm not talking about Shiarim now, I'm talking about the Dam itself, not what's left after the Akiyam of Zrika. Is there such a thing as a carbon that requires the Avodah not of Zrika but of Shvicha, and that's the carbon Pesach? So when we talk about the Korban Pesach, we started our discussion yesterday about what makes the Korban Pesach unique as opposed to all of Kodshim, and we established yesterday, just to reiterate, that in the case of a Korban Pesach, everything is all about Shechita and Achila. The purpose of the Korban is to culminate in Achila, V'yochlos Abosu B'layla Zen. Therefore, there's Halach of Shalol L'Shem Ochlim, where that the time of the Shechita had in mind people who were Chol HaZaken, weren't capable of Achila, or for example, Shalol HaMnuyav, which is a psul in Korban Pesach, because if you're not Mono, you can't eat from the Korban Pesach. Those are the unique dimensions of Korban Pesach that are generated by the Mitzvah Achila. Now we have a different uniqueness in the Korban Pesach that has nothing to do with Achila, it has to do with Akrov itself. And the Avodah of a Korban Pesach requires not Zrika al Gabi Mizbeach, but rather Shvicha al Gabi Mizbeach. And we're going to have in Mirz Hashem a lot to discuss about that as we go through this part of Masechta Pesachim. Now, as I said before, the unique carbon in terms of Zrika Sadam, other than this little discussion that we had about the Korban Pesach, is the Chatos. Now, a Korban Chatos subdivides into two categories. One is called a Chatos HaChitzona, the Avodah of which is done in the Azara, and the other is called a Chatos Pnimis, the Avodah of which is implemented in the Pnim, meaning in the Heichal, on the Mizbeach HaPnimi. We have two Mizbechos. We have a Mizbeach HaChitzon, otherwise known as the Mizbeach HaNechoshes, which stood in the Azara. And then, when you go into the Heichal, which is a much higher level of Kedusha, there was another Mizbech, which is called the Mizbech HaPnimi. In the case of Chatos, we have two types of Chatos. We have the Chatos HaChitzona, and then we have the Chatos HaPnimis. Now, what's common to both Chatos is that the Avodas HaZrika is performed with the finger, the etzba of the Kohen. So the blood after Shechita was collected in the Mizrach, and instead of taking that Mizrach and throwing the blood onto the Mizbech, which is called Zrika, instead, in the case of Chatos, whether it's Primus or Chitzona, there's Etzba. Etzba means he dips his finger into the Kli, and then he applies the dam onto the side of the Mizbech, but not onto the side of the Mizbech, because here's another difference between Chatos and other Karbonos, but rather on the Kronos of the Mizbech, which means on the Gag of the Mizbech that has four horns, if you want to call them that, on each side. And here's where the difference is between a Chatos Pnimis and a Chatos Chitzona. Which horns are you going to put it on? Well, in the case of a Chatos Chitzona, you're putting it on the horns of the Mizbech HaChitzon, otherwise known, as I said, as the Mizbech HaNechoshes that stood in the Azorah. Whereas the Chatos HaPnimis, now you're entering into the Kodesh, and you're going to have to place the dam on the four chronos of the Mizbech HaPnimi, otherwise known as the Mizbech HaZav, or the Mizbech HaKtores. And again, exactly when, on which occasions you bring a Chatos Chitzona, and which you bring a Chatos HaPnimis, in Mirtz Hashem, Od Chazon L'Moed, maybe tomorrow we'll talk about that. Now, there are two parts, so to speak, of the actual animal of the korban. There's the dam, and then there's the rest of the animal. The rest of the animal divides up into two subcategories. One is called the emurim, which requires haktor al gabi mizbeach, and the other is the shara bosar, excluding both dam and emurim, and that's eaten either by the kohen or by the Israel in the case of a korban shlom. To what extent do we classify all three as avodos, and therefore apply the principles that apply to avoda, namely if the avoda wasn't implemented, the korban is posel and it's not mechaper? To what extent do we apply the principles of machshava poseles? So if we're talking about achila, that's already a different category. But if we're talking about aktaras emurim, there's room to analyze and classify aktaras emurim, like dam, as an ikar avoda. It's a critical avoda. But the answer is no. And this is one of the wonders of kodshim, that aktaras emurim, although it's an absolute requirement l'chatchila, but the carbon stands on its own, b'dieved, with zrika, whatever zrika is in all those different manifestations, even in the absence of aktaras emurim. So if the emurim are lost, or they became tame, and there's no way that you could be mocked to the emurim on the mizbech, it's just not possible, the carbon still remains a mechaper, and the bialim do not have to replace that carbon. And with a kolshken, how much more so in the case of achilas habosar? Because in the case of achilas habosar, either the kohenim or the Yisraelim, in the case of shlom, this is not an avod. This is a separate mitzvah achila, and it's achilas adam, zrikas adam, and aktor seimurim is achilas mizbeach, and therefore aktor seimurim is that middle stage, which is between achilas habosar on the one extreme and zrikas adam on the other. To some extent, it's an avoda because it's on the mizbeach. But as we said before, if the emurim are lost, then the carbon is still kosher. Now, one of the complicated issues about emurim is what exactly are the emurim? Basically, they're fats, they're chalovim, and they are scraped off different organs of the body. But for this, we have to know more of animal biology to figure out where the emurim are and what constitutes the emurim. So again, even though the emurim are part of the avodas hakarbon and they're required, but nevertheless, it's not critical. And therefore, if there's a failure and an inability to be makta the emurim, it doesn't invalidate the karbon. But here we find one very important point about daktaras emurim. Daktaras emurim, as achilas mizbeach, is the bridge between zrikas adam and achilas habos al yidei hakohanim or al yidei bala korban Yisrael. What do I mean? That daktaras emurim is the matir that allows the kohanim to eat the basar, which means that the kohanim are enjoined from eating the basar until after the daktaras emurim. It's almost as if we're saying, let the mizbeach go first, let the achilas mizbeach come first. We have more kavod for the mizbeach than we have for the achilas hakohen. And therefore the kohanim are enjoined from eating the basar until after daktaras emurim. Now, I'm just going to give you a little bit of a summary, and don't ask me any questions on the next sentence that comes out of my mouth, because I don't understand what I'm telling you either, because I never actually shechted an animal. But the emurim are the fats around the stomach, which is called the keva, the kidneys, which is called the kloyos, and around the kaved, which is called the liver. But again, I'm oversimplifying it because there are other parts of the animal, like the diaphragm and the flanks of the animal, and zro l'chayayim v'keva, different parts of the animal that have fats, and they too are included in a murim. And a matter of fact, in the case of a sheep, the murim includes even the tail of the sheep. That's called the alia, aleph lamed yud hei. And if the emurim are available, they're in existence, and they're not tameh, they're tar, and they're waiting to be burnt on the mizbeach, then the kohanim are enjoined from eating the basar. When do the kohanim have the ability, the heter, to eat the basar? That's after the daktaras ha-emurim. If the emurim are gone, or there's no possibility of haktara, then the kohanim are allowed to eat the basar even in the absence of haktaras emurim, meaning achilas adam stands independent of achilas mizbeach, but the achilas mizbeach, when possible, has to come first before the achilas adam. Now, none of this discussion is relevant to karban ola. Karban ola is kulo kolil. It's completely burnt on the mizbeach, so that you don't have to differentiate neither between the dam and the emurim, or between the emurim and the shara basar, which is eaten by the kohanim. The whole business, from A to Z, is going to be burnt on the mizbeach. Now, one last point before we go on, and again, this comes back to the differentiation between all kodshim and korban pesach. With regard to the achilas habasar, the Gemara says, we're going to get it very soon on Daf Nun Tes, that kohanim ochlim ubailim miskaprim, which means that in this entire process of akrovas hakarbon, the purpose and the agenda of which is kaparas habailim, the final stage, or the culmination, is the achilas hakon. What that means is that although the zrikas adam is the ikar machaper, followed by the aktaras emurim, the kohanim clinch the kapara, to, shall we say, the highest level of kapara. It now becomes an ideal kapara when they eat the basar. But we have a tremendous machlokas rishonim as to whether or not the achilas kohanim is a mitzvah per se. And here's where brisk comes in. As you know, I'm a little bit of a brisker, and the briskers really apply their principles to kodshim in a very special way. They differentiate between the gavra and the chefta. And the machlokas rishonim, in brisker terminology, regarding achilas kohanim, is whether it's in the chefta of the karbon, or it's in the gavra of the kohen. Meaning, when the kohen eats the basar, what is he accomplishing? Is he accomplishing something in the zevach, in the heft of the karbon, that the karbon needs these three aspects of zrika and aktara and then achila? Or is it a chovas gavra? It's a din in the gavra that the kohen has an obligation to eat the basar of the karbon, that basar which is not burnt on the mizbeach. And the whole issue is how to understand the Rambam. You know, one place the Rambam seems to indicate that the kohanim are just part of the mechaper, the kaparas hakarbon, but there's no chovas gavra that's incumbent upon the kohanim to eat the basar. In another place, the Rambam seems to assume that achilas hakohanim is not just part of the zevach, but it's a separate mitzvah and it's counted in taryag. Again, there's a lot of action on this. In the case of Psachim, as we said before, there the Achilas HaBasar is the ultimate goal of the Karbon. Alright, these are a few dimensions of our introduction, our overview of Kodshim that I wanted to share with you. And now we get back to the Ikar Avoda for today, and that is Psachim Daf Nun Ches Amud Aleph. Very quick review of what we know so far. Somebody should make a chart out of this. I don't have a chart, but what I would tell you is the following. Tomid Nishchat, that's the name of our perek. When is the time for Shchitas HaTomid? In a case of a weekday, a regular weekday during the year, the Mishnah establishes that the Shchita is done at 8.5 hours, and it takes an hour for the Krova. The Krova is completed at 9.5 hours. On Erev Pesach, the Mishnah establishes that the Tomid is shechted at 7.5 hours. And that means that the complete hakrava of the Tomid on Erev Pesach is 8.5 hours. That's when we're going to start the process of the Psachim. Because the Korban Pesach, insofar as the Torah adds the word Ba'erev to Ben Arbaim, is brought after the Tomid. And the Gemara hakrava of the Tomid on Erev Pesach, on the 14th, is not going to be the normal 7:30, it's going to be 8:30. So that what we're doing is that, I'm sorry, maybe I said that wrong. Let me just reiterate what I just said. On a regular day, if it's not Erev Pesach, then the Gemara Krovas HaTomid will be at 9:30. In the case of Erev Pesach, a regular Erev Pesach, we'll speak about the exceptions of Shabbos and Erev Shabbos, but on a regular day of Chol, then the Avodas HaTomid is at 7:30 instead of 8:30, and therefore the Korban Pesach could be brought at 8:30. Now the reason why on the 14th of Nisan we are starting the process of Hakrovas HaTomid, Shchitas HaTomid an hour earlier, is because we have to give more ample time for the Psachim, the myriad of Psachim that have to be brought on Yudalid bin Nisan. Now what happens if Erev Pesach is on a Friday? At this point, we have to allow not only for plenty of time for the Psachim, but also for the Tzlias HaPsachim, the roasting of the Psachim, which cannot be done after nightfall insofar as it's not Docha Shabbos. So we want to expand the time period for Psachim, and therefore we're going to go back to the earliest time for the Korban Tamid, which is 6.5 hours. That's what we have in our Mishnah. Now we started, just 2 days ago, the Braisa, which records Machlokas between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. And we're going through no less than three different variant shitos as to how to interpret the machlokes between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. That's recorded in this brisa. So the brisa starts with Tanur Rabbanon, and that you'll see in the middle between Tosus Divya Maschil Midi and the last Tosus Chayshinon, Tanur Rabbanon. And the brisa says, Kisiduro Bechol Kach Siduro B'Shabbos. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva Omer Kisiduro Be'erev Shabbos. So let's begin analyzing this machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel according to Abai. Abai says, well, let me just first point out that both Abai and Rava is going to be the Bar Plukta of Abai, they both assume that the subject of this brisa, the subject of the machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel, is Shabbos of Erev Pesach. What happens when the 14th of Nisan, which is very frequent, falls out on a Shabbos? Does the Zman Shchitas Hatamid change as a result of the fact that this 14th of Nisan is on a Shabbos? So again, if the 14th of Nisan was on Chol, then we said the Tamid is Nishchat at Sheva Umechtza. What do we do in the case of the 14th of Nisan, not on Chol, but rather on Shabbos? Well, if you look in the Mishnah actually addresses that question. It says, Bein b'Shabbos, Bein b'Chol, it's at 7.5. That indeed, according to Abaye, is the sheet of Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel is telling us, Kisiduro b'Chol, on the 14th of Nisan, Kach Sidur B'Shabbos on the 14th of Nisan. So the fact that the 14th of Nisan is Shabbos, according to Rabbi Shmuel, changes nothing. We still maintain the halacha of Tamid, Zman HaTamid on Erev Pesach, and the Zman HaTamid on Erev Pesach is Sheva Umechtza. Nothing changes. You and I would have thought that maybe, and this is going to be Rabbi Akiva's pitch, on Erev Pesach Shechalios B'Shabbos, we should begin even earlier and go back to Sheish Umechtza, which is the earliest time for the Karban Tamid that it could ever be brought. Let's go and exercise our ability to enjoy the benefit of the earliest possible time for the Tamid, hence the earliest time for the Psachim, in order to allow for the entire flow of Karbanos Psachim, of the Psachim. And not only that, we have no vested interest in delaying the Tamid if it's Shabbos, because there are no Nedarim in Tavis. So therefore, if we have a relatively light burden of Hakrava on Shabbos Erev Pesach, because since it's Shabbos, there's no Nedarim in Tavis, then Adocha Shabbos, we have an extra volume of Hakrava after the Tamid because of the massive volume of Karbonos Pesachim, then logically we should have said, let's begin with the Karbon Tamid at the earliest possible time. And that would be at Sheish Umechtza. That's in fact the sheet of Rabbi Akiva. I'm analyzing now the sheet of Rabbi Shmuel according to Abaye. Rabbi Shmuel according to Abaye is going to equate a regular chol of Yudal B'Nisan with a Shabbos of Yudal B'Nisan, and in both cases the shechita of the Tamid will be at Sheva Umechtza. Rabbi Akiva says, no, let's go back to Sheish Umechtza. Ah, you'll ask me, do we have a precedent for Sheish Umechtza? We really do. And that's in our Mishnah, in Tamid Nishchat. The Mishnah says that if Erev Shabbos is on Erev Pesach, that means Friday is your 14th of Nisan, then the Tamid is Nishchat as early as possible, meaning the earliest possible time is 6.5 hours. So if we already have a precedent that breaks new ground and allows us to go and shecht the tamid at the earliest possible time, namely sheish v'mechtza. That's erev Pesach, erev Shabbos. I'm sorry, erev Shabbos, erev Pesach. So let's do the same if erev Pesach is Shabbos. Now, although you might argue that yesh l'chalik, in the case of erev Shabbos on 14th of Nisan, there we have to we're desperate to start at the earliest possible time because of the problem of tzlias ha-Pesach. Fine. But you've already set a precedent to bring the Korban Tumah at its earliest moment. Why not do so, says Rabbi Akiva, in the case of the 14th of Nisan on a Shabbos? You don't have the issue of Nedarim Nedavos. Again, you don't have the issue of Tzliya, that I understand, but you have a massive amount of Korbanos Pesachim. Let's maximize the amount of time for Korbanos Pesachim. There are no inhibitions that would prevent us from setting the Zman of Shechitas HaPesach at 6.5 hours. The only possible inhibition you would have is there is no precedent for that, but there is in fact a precedent that on the 14th of Nisan. So whether the 14th of Nisan is a Friday or a Shabbos, Rabbi Akiva says we're going to shecht the Korban Tumah at 6.5 hours. In the case of Friday, I understand very well why I go back to the earliest time, and that's because I got to make sure I get Tzlias HaPesach. But in the case of Shabbos on Erev Pesach, I don't have the Tzlia issue, but I do have the issue that A, there are no Nedarim Nedavos, B, there's a massive amount of Korban Pesach, and therefore let's get the show on the road. Let's do the Shechita of the Tumah at the earliest possible time, Sheish V'Mechtza. You've now expanded your time period for the Korbanos Pesachim. It's a Shabbos, and therefore there's no Nedarim Nedavos that would implore us, so to speak, to push the Tumah later down. Let's take the Tumah and bring it at the earliest possible time. Rabbi Akiva makes a lot of sense. So what logic can we use to justify Rabbi Shmuel? Why does Rabbi Shmuel insist that just like your classic Erev Pesach, Yudal B'Nisan, and we shecht the Tumah at 7.5 hours, let's do so even in the case when it's not a Yom Chol, but rather it's a Yom Shabbos. So the Gemara says that Rabbi Shmuel has a different issue. And that issue is the Korban Musaf of Shabbos. So in a strange sort of a way, we're making a flip, almost like a barter exchange. We're exchanging the Nedarim Nedavos for Musafim. What do I mean? On Shabbos, there's no factor of postponing the Tumah because of the heavy burden of Korbanos Nedarim Nedavos. There are no Nedarim Nedavos. But on the other hand, we have another factor that pushes us to delay the Tumah Shel Bein Arbayim, and that is the Korban Musaf. What do you mean the Korban Musaf? Korban Musaf is brought at the end of the Boker, at the end of the morning. That's at 11 o'clock. That's Shach HaMishis. Finish Shach HaMishis, and you're up to Shach Shishis. You're up to noon in a perfect day, right? Let's bring the Korban Tumah at noon. Well, okay, maybe we want to wait till we can see the shadows, right? So we'll wait another half hour. But it's Sheish V'Mechtza. So why is Musaf a factor to be reckoned with to delay and postpone the Tumah Shel Bein Arbayim? And the answer is Bezichin. Well, we all know about Bezichin, don't we? It would probably take us weeks to learn about the Bezichin. So we're going to just touch the surface and talk about Bezichin. V'maikom miflagi, v'musafim kodem lebezichin kom miflagi. Sh'Rabbi Shmuel sover musafim kodmin lebezichin. Now, when we talk about Bezichin, we're talking about Kalim, But really, we're talking about something other than kelim. We're talking about the lechem apanim. The lechem apanim had to be accompanied, if I could use that word, by something called levona. And when the lechem apanim are removed from the shulchan at the end of the week, meaning on Shabbos, and replaced by a new, fresh order of lechem apanim, the levona is removed from the lechem apanim, and it is burnt on the mizbeach. How do we remove the levona that's on the side of the lechem apanim? So you have the lechem here and the levona here. That is called bezichin. So let's just review what we know about bezichin. Bezichin themselves are these spoons that are made of gold, and they are included in the pasuk, as I mentioned the other day, v'asisa karosav v'kaposav. And that's in Parshas Truma in Sefer Shmos. Now, the bezichin were carved out in such a way that they had what's called melo komets. Because whenever you take something that is either a soles, meaning it's made of flour and water and so forth, or it's made of one of the samimonim of the various herbs, like this case of the lavona, the shear is always melo komets. And melo komets, which is the amount that you would normally hold in your hand if you tighten your fist, is equal to the amount of lavona that's going to be scooped up by these bezichin. Now, where was this lavona? As we said before, there were two marachos of six lechamim on each marecha, 6 plus 6. And the lavona was placed on these marachos, meaning on these shelves, on one side and on the other. So you had two bezichin, and the mitzvah was to scoop up a melo komets with the bezichin on the right, the mezochin on the left, and take it to the mizbeach. Once that was done, and the bezichin and the levona within have completed their avoda, that means that the levona was burnt on the mizbeach, at that point, the lechamim, the 12 lachmei lechem aponim, are now divvied up amongst the what's called the Anshei HaMishma, those Kohanim who are on duty, and then, and only then, they could eat these lechamim, these 12 loaves. And that's derived from the Pesukim Nasata al Amareches, Levona, Zakav HaHoysa Lelechem, etc., etc. That the Pesuk indicates that first, you put the levona on the mareches. The mareches in this case means on the marocha, the mizbeach, and you burn it, and then v'hoysa lechem, etc., which means then and only then are the kohanim allowed to eat the lechem. And this reminds me of what we spoke about before about haktaras yimurim. Remember, we said that the earliest time that the kohanim are allowed to eat the basar, in the case of chatos or osham or the bailam in shlomim, is only after the haktaras yimurim. So haktaras yimurim is the matir of achilas habasar. And here, the haktaras halavona, after the avodah of the bezichin, is matir, the achilas lechem aponim. Now, when are we going to be, matir this levona? Do we have to do it before musaf? Or can we do it after musaf? Now, if we can do it before Musaf, then we don't understand Rabbi Shmuel here, because then, let's just finish with the Avoda de Levona, Naktaras HaLevona, with the Bazichin, then go ahead to Musaf, and that can be done at 10 in the morning, completed at 11, and 11 more, at 11 a.m., the beginning of the sixth hour, that's when we're going to bring the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim. Why? Because the Musaf is going to be brought after the Haktaras HaLevona. So I could do the Haktaras HaLevona at 10, finish up at 11, bring the Musafim at 11, and then following the Musafim, shech the carbon tamid at, let's say, 6.5. We'll give it that extra half hour as we discussed before. Now, it's clear, one thing is undeniable, that the Avodas HaBazichin and the Aktoras HaLevona has to take place before the Shechita of the Tamid. And the reason for that is because we have a halacha of Hashlama, if you recall. As we discussed yesterday at great length, the Karban Tamid has to be the last Karban of the day. The only exception is Karban Pesach on Yudal B'Nisan because of the extra Pasuk Ba'erev. But where during the day are we going to do the Avodas Haktaras HaLevona? Are we going to do it at 12 noon? And that's going to postpone the Tamid for a full hour. Or are we going to do it at 10 in the morning, before the Musafim, so that we can then go on at 11 o'clock to the Musafim, finish up the Musafim, and we're at noon. And that's when we're going to bring the Tamid, or add a half hour. So this is the subject of the machlokes between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yishmael is going to be of the opinion that the Musafim hold up, so to speak, or delay the Avodas HaBezichin. And that's called, in the Lashon of Rabbi Yishmael, Musafim Kodmim LeBezichin. Now, why does the Musaf have to be brought before the Avodas HaLevona and the Bezichin? And the reason for that is that the word Yom in the Torah is a secret password for postpone. Meaning, if you're in the morning 6 hours, then Yom means at the end of that 6 hours. If you're in the evening, then Yom would mean closer to Shkia. And here's the difference between the Musafim and the Bezichin. In the case of the Musafim, the Torah used the word Yom once, indicating that the Musafim should be brought at the end of the morning. We'll call it Chamesh. In the case of Bezichin, the word Bayom appears not once, but twice. And in the Parsha Bezichin, in Vayikra Chav Gimel Parshas Emor, it says, Dvar Yom Bi Yom. So there are two times that it says Yom, which means a double postponement. To such an extent, then it's going to pass beyond the Boker, because it says Yom twice, and the second Yom is going to tell me in the afternoon hours. So that we're going to bring the Musaf at 11 o'clock, the beginning of the sixth hour. We're going to complete the Musafim at noon. And at that point, we can't be big shots and shech the Karban Tamid, because we got to fit in the Avodas HaBezichin. Because in the Avodas HaBezichin, it says the word Bayom twice. And that twice, the extra Yom, is coming to delay the Avodas HaBezichin until after the Avodas HaMusaf. So if the Musaf is going to be at 11, the Avodas HaBezichin will start at 12. That'll take us till 1 o'clock. So we're already at the beginning of the seventh hour. And then what we're going to do is we're going to equate, you know, Shabbos with its Musaf and Bezichin to the same Erev Pesach, Shechalios Bechol. And we're going to say that Shabbos of Erev Pesach, we're going to bring the Karban Tamid at 7.5. Just like on Chol. At 7.5. Now, the question we have to ask is why the extra half hour? Okay, that we'll try to work on that soon. Because Bishlam, if you're talking about the beginning of the seventh hour and why you want to postpone the Tomid for a half hour, then we have the whole discussion of Sheinotu Atzlol, that the shadow has to be visible towards the east. But now, you know, now we're talking about a different story. We're talking about Sheva Mechza. That's already into the, deep into the seventh hour. So why are we postponing the Talmud for another half hour. Why not bring the Talmud at the beginning of the seventh hour? Let's say at 1 p.m., sorry. Okay. So therefore he says the following. V'afal pi shavodas ha-bezichim mistayemes besof shosh viz. So right, we finish the avodas ha-musafen according to Rabbi Shmuel at noon, from the beginning of the Shah Hamishis till the end. Then, at the beginning of Shosh Shishis, we are involved in the Bazichin. And then, by the time we get to the beginning of Shosh Shviyas, we've already completed not only the Musafim, but also the Bazichin as well. Im kein efshal lahaskil shchitas ha-tamid, b'tchilas ha-shah ha-shminis. Why don't we bring the Tamid at 1 p.m.? We've already allotted an hour post-Musaf for the Bazichin. At 1 p.m. we should be shechting the Korban Tamid. And you can't tell me Yinotu Atzlolim because Yinotu Atzlolim was ready a half hour ago at 12:30. He says, Mikol makom lo rotzu l'shanos v'l'kvoa zman chadosh. He says that we only have like fluctuations in the Musaf of Sheva Mechtza and Sheish Mechtza. But we never have Tchila Sheva. So that entity as a Zman in the constellation of Korban Tamid just doesn't exist. There's nowhere on the map of the various Zmanim of Korban Tamid, three of which we know about. One is at the beginning of the... One is at Sheish Vamechtza, the other is Sheva Vamechtza, and that's going to be on Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach, we said, was Sheva Vamechtza, and we added an extra hour. And then we could have Shmona Vamechtza in the case of any day of the year. So this morning, when we shechted the Talmud, it was 8:30. But we don't have Shah Tchila Shah Shviz. It just doesn't appear in our constellation of possible Zmanim for Shchitas HaTom. So once you get to the beginning of the seventh hour, you're going to postpone it to halfway because Kedei LaHashvos, in order to equate it with that which we know, is Mamel according to Rabbi Shmuel, on Erev Pesach, whether it be a weekday or whether it be Shabbos, the Talmud is going to be brought at 7.5 hours. If it's a weekday, it's brought at 7.5 hours in order to give an extra hour for the Akrovas HaPsachim. And keep in mind that there was a massive amount of Psachim that had to be brought. And now it's Shabbos, so therefore we're gonna be makdim, says the Mishnah, on Erev Pesach Shchalios b'Shabbos. We're going to be makdim it from 8:30 back to 7:30 Sheva Mechtza. And according to Rabbi Shmuel, we're gonna do that because, in general, Erev Pesach requires Sheva Umechza for Shchitas HaTamid. On a Chol, which is obviously most of the year, and even on Shabbos. So it's always going to be Sheva Umechza. So to make a long story short, in truth, the time for this, the Shchitas HaTamid, according to Rabbi Shmuel, when Erev Pesach is a Shabbos, should be Tchilas HaSheva. For technical reasons, we're going to postpone it for a half hour. When I say technical reasons, it means, you know, to equalize and to make it uniform with an Erev Pesach Shechalios Bechol. So it's interesting because when you open up the Braisa that we started with, and read it according to Abaye, the way Abaye wants you to read it. Torah Avonah kisidurei b'chol kach sidurei b'Shabbos. Which means we're talking about Erev Pesach, we're talking about the 14th. And already in the classic weekday Erev Pesach, we already broke new ground. And instead of bringing the carbon at Shmona Vachetzi, like it would be the whole balance of the year, we bring it now at Sheva Vachetzi. In order to facilitate the massive amounts of Korban Pesach during the course of the day. And Bein B'Shabbos Bein Uchol. And now we have a new reading of Bein B'Shabbos Bein Uchol. In other words, once we have this breakthrough of Sheva Vachetzi in the case of Chol, meaning the 14th of Nisan on a weekday, we're going to apply that to Shabbos, even though Nikar Adin, we could have started the Talmud process at Tchilas Shev. Now again, if you're looking to hang your hat on a peg, and you want to expand the time for Korban Pesach, you could have gone all the way back to Sheish Vamechta, which is in fact Rabbi Akiva Shita, but Rabbi Shmuel is not going to allow you to go back to Sheish Vamechta. Now, where do we find the precedent for Sheish Vachetzi? That's already Erev Shabbos Shechalios Be'erev Pesach. But we're not going to do so, according to Rabbi Shmuel, because we're boxed in by the Bazichin. If we finish the Hakrava, the Musaf, at Tchilas Sheish, we need the entire hour for the Bazichin to be makta the Lavona on the Mizbeach. So Sheish Vamechta is not even an option. So imagine what goes on over here. If not for the issue of Bazichin, and Rabbi Shmuel's Shita that since in the Parsha Bazichin, it says the word Yom twice, and that teaches and establishes that the Bazichin have to be brought after the Musaf. If not for that whole story, then Rabbi Yishmael would certainly be on board with Rabbi Akiva that we should shech the Korban Tomid at Sheish Vamechta, because we have a precedent for that in the case of a Friday Erev Pesach. The only reason Rabbi Yishmael was compelled to delay the Tomid by 1 hour is because he's committed to that position based on Bazichin li'achar Korban Pesach, or if you want to say it the other way around, li'achar Musaf, meaning Musafim Kodmin le'bazich. Then we get to Rabbi Akiva. Now Rabbi Akiva's a cinch. Rabbi Akiva savar Bazichin Kodmin le'musafim. At 10 in the morning, you could already bring the Bazichin and be marked to the Lavon on the Mizbeach. You don't have to wait till 12 noon. And then when you finish with the Bazichin at 11 o'clock, that's when you'll shech the Musafim. Is Memela lit? If that be the case, then Ovid Le Tomi Vishesh Vamechza. If you're holding that Bazichin Kodmin Le Musafim, the Bazichin Bechamesh, Musafim Vishesh, and now you're ready for the Korban Tumid. The Musaf service, which has to take place like any Korban before the Tumid, is completed already by noon. Because the Bazichin we brought earlier. Now again, we could have theoretically completed the Musafim earlier, but that's impossible because, as we said before, the Torah says Yom at least once with regard to the Musafim, and that means at the 11th hour. But now we finish with the Musafim, an hour later, it's noon. We're ready for the Korban Tumid. We're going to have to add a half hour only because of Sheinotu Atzlolim. So we're now at Sheish Vamechta. And now Rabbi Akiva fits into a very neat package. If Shabbos is the 14th of Nisan, then we don't have any vested interest in postponing the Tumid, because we have no Nedarim Nedavos at Shabbos. On the contrary, we have vested interest to be Makdim the Tumid in order to facilitate a maximum amount of Psachim, a maximum amount of time for the Psachim. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva says, let's go back to the earliest possible time for the Tamid. And within the constellation of the Tamid, the only known time that's early is Sheish Vamechza. That's where we're going to shecht the Tamid. What about the Bazichin? Rabbi Akiva holds, Bazichin Kodol Lemusafim. What does he do with the extra word Yom? In Bazichin it says Yom twice. So this is a Gemara in Masechta Yoma on Daf Lamed Daled. And this has to do with something called Minchas Chavitin. The Kohen Gadol, twice daily, had to bring a separate Mincha, which is called Minchas Chavitin. And there's a Gzeirah Shava equating Lechem Aponim and Minchas Chavitin. That Gzeirah Shava is called Chukah Chukah. All right. Now, based on this Gzeirah Shava, we're going to say the following. Minchas Chavitin Kodmin Lumusafim. Now, why is that? Why does the Minchas Chavitin have to come before the Musaf? Lefi shehi kreva tekef li achar tamid shel shachar. In other words, the Torah tells us with regard to the Chavitin or the Kohen Gadol, Lahakriv Ishe Lashem Ola Umincha. So as if to say that before this Mincha is brought, you're already being Makriv the Ishe Lashem, which would be the Musaf. Now, if we have a Gzeirah Shava between Minchas Chavitin and Lechem Aponim, and we know that the Minchas HaChavitin has to come before the Musafim, that's just a technicality. Really, the Minchas Chavitin should be brought much earlier than the Musafim, because it has to be immediately after the Korban Tamid Shel Shachar, because with regard to Minchas Chavitin, the Torah says that it's got to be Ishe Lashem, it's got to be right after the Korban Tamid Shel Shachar. So the Minchas Chavitin has to be immediately after the Tamid Shel Shachar, before the Musafim, which are much later in the morning at 11 o'clock. And now we have a Gzeirah Shava between Minchas Chavitin, which comes before the Musafim, and Lechem Aponim, Chukah Chukah. Therefore, everything that's involved in Lechem Aponim, which in this case, as far as the Mizbeach is concerned, is the Aktaras HaLevona with the Bazichin, that likewise should come before the Korban Pesach. Once we have the Bazichin out of the way, so to speak, because the Bazichin are going to be accomplished before the Musaf, then the pavement is clear to bring the Korban Pesach as early as possible. And that means to shecht the Korban Tamid as early as possible, and that's Sheish Vamechtza. That's Rabbi Akiva's sheet. The bottom line, Rabosai, is that according to Abaye, the issue that divides Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva is not really an issue of Tamid. I mean, Tamid is the outcome of the issue. That's the repercussion. That's the application. That's not the Yisoda Machlokas. The Yisoda Machlokas is what determines the time for the Bazichin. Is it the fact that in Bazichin the Torah says Yom twice, and therefore the Bazichin should be brought after the Musafim, or is it the fact that we have a Gzeirah Shava between Minchas Chavitin and the Lechem Aponim, and that tells me that the Bazichin has to be after the Tamid Shel Shachar? Certainly not after the Musaf. Now, once you flesh that out, then you figure out when to bring the Tamid. Because if you're going to have to bring the Bazichin on Shabbos after the Musafim, then you have to account for an extra hour after the Musaf. So you're at the, you know, you start at the beginning of the fifth hour, you finish the fifth hour, and you're Yashkoch, you can make a Siyum on Musafim. Now you're ready for the Bazichin at the beginning of the sixth hour, meaning at noon. Add an hour. And that's because Musafim Kodim LeBazichin, and that's the Sheet of Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Akiva, on the other hand, holds that the Musafim come after the Bazichin. The Bazichin called Mila Musafim. They have a status, a quasi-status of Minchas Chavitim, which means they should be brought after the Tamid Shel Shachar. And that's based on the Gzer Shava Chuka Chuka. Hence, the way is clear that after you finish the Musafim, which is noontime, you have the earliest possible moment to bring the Tamid Shel Bein Harbayim in order to facilitate the Pesachim. But we see very clearly that the issue of the Shechitas HaTamid is just a spin-off of the issue of whether Bazichin is before the Musaf or after the Musaf. And once you decide when the Tamid is Shechted, then you can decide when the Pesachim will be brought. Maskif Le Rava. Right, Rava disagrees. Oh, okay, I see what time it is, so we're going to have to stop here. And Rava is going to object to Abaye because of a textual reading of the Brice. So Mir Hashem, we'll pick that up tomorrow. So B'li Neder, we'll pick it up tomorrow. Ella Amar Rava, let's just make a note of where we're up to here on the page. We are Maskif Le'Rav, excuse me, not Elam Arav. We are four lines down in the wide lines here on Daf Nun Ches Amid Aleph.